This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Oh, here's Gascoigne. Gascoigne, he can finish it here! Paul Gascoigne! 2-0!
Lampard!
Yes. Brilliant!
It was in, no!
That surely crossed the line!
Oh, oh.
It's so far in!
Thanks very much, Sepp Blatter.
Clean sheet, I call it, is one of the most important things in football.
Nice to see home fans booing you.
Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Paul Bowden to take it. Oh, and he's hit the crossbar!
Gerrard, it's Carroll! What a goal by the England striker! That's why he was brought in, and he's done the job.
Saved! John Pickford!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, it happened!
No!
Hit leg!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score Euros? Episode 1, the tournament is underway. I'm Chris Gold, joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Yes, please. Here we are, the summer of our lives.
Yeah, so exciting, isn't it? And joining us fresh from being on Wikipedia learning about why North Macedonia are called North Macedonia, it's Michael Marden.
Hello.
Hello. Well, well, well. Here we are. Our first proper Euros show after two previews. It's currently 8 p.m. on Sunday. Normally we'd start with the electronic postbag and the 90s o'clock news. I suppose, Chris, do you want to just give the 90s o'clock news the England result?
England 1, Croatia 0, our first ever victory in the first game of a European Championship finals. And what a day it was. The sun is shining. I am so dehydrated. I don't know about everyone else. I'm on my fourth pint of orange squash.
You very much remind me of a tabloid story about Paul Scholes in Japan, that kind of tournament. You're John Aldridge, aren't you, in the Dallas Bowl or whatever it's called.
I was losing my head like Jack Charlton in this heat. Very England versus Scotland at Euro 96, the weather today, wasn't it? Just the
it looked so much like England versus Scotland, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did look like England versus Scotland. You're like, am I tricking myself into this looking like England versus Scotland? I don't know. But also, I know they're both Wembley, but they're different stadiums, but they've managed to make the new Wembley suddenly looks like the old Wembley on TV. I don't know what's happened there.
Yeah.
It felt like the old Wembley.
Although, I don't think I've ever watched a game and had as much contrast issues where the shadow was. I mean, we were watching in your gardens, the sun was on the TV, but there was a very lit part of the pitch and a very dark part of the pitch. In a way I don't really think I've seen before.
It was insane. You'd think they'd have checked this would be in it. But what am I being thick? But that's not that the roof is stronger than normal. That must be that the sun is brighter than it's ever been before, right? The roof's not blocking out more sun. How does that even work? Like, surely it's... How bright was today that it was... Did they have the floodlights on as well on one side of the pitch? I don't know how it worked. Michael, what are your thoughts on what you witnessed this afternoon?
Well, it's a strange one. There was a sort of a very unconventional and difficult to process competence and professionalism to that result and that performance. Like, we never looked like we were in trouble at any point. We just kind of clinically were the better team. There were no mistakes, there were no errors. I don't think there was ever a point where I felt like we weren't going to win that game, no. Which is, as an England fan, is a very alien place to be.
It felt like it must feel to be a German.
Yes.
Is this what happens when you're good? Is this it?
Yeah. Like, it felt when we scored, so I was trying to process afterwards why that goal didn't feel as exciting as scoring against Tunisia in the first game of World Cup 2018. And I think it's because in all the other previous tournaments, I know in my heart that we're bad and I need us to score to prove to me that I'm wrong and we're actually good. Do you know what I mean? So every previous tournament, I'm going into it knowing that this is a team that doesn't have what it takes.
Yeah.
So I need us to prove me wrong in my heart. So when we score, it's a moment when I think, oh, I was wrong. But now,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I thought we were good. And even if we hadn't won, I thought, we'll be fine because we're good. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think previous tournaments have always felt a bit like a sort of a partner who forgets your birthday or your anniversaries. And you're like, please don't let them forget. And then they'll turn up with some flowers from the garage at the last minute. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, they're not that bad. Whereas tonight, it's like, no, they remembered. And they got a present that was really nice and I really liked it. Oh my God, is this the future? Are we going to marry this England team?
Can I just temper this celebration a little bit?
No.
I thought it was, it was a bit England versus Tunisia, France 98. I just felt like, that was a good start. Is the opposition any good? I'm not sure. That was a really good start. Do you know what I mean? I still feel like I need to see more. But it's a great start.
It's difficult for them to do that without playing their fixtures too soon. You can't lay it on England that they've only won the one game they've played. Like, it's not fair on them to go, I needed three wins today to really win me over. Can we not play three teams at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like we are better than Croatia. Like, and we should have won that game. I don't think you can dispute that. You know, I know they beat us in the World Cup, but that was 3 years ago. Their best player is now 3 years older. He's 35 years old. But we didn't draw that game. And I think historically we would have drawn that game. And then we would have had to sort of sugarcoat it and go, well, you know, we never start great. That never felt like happening. Yeah. I felt like we were just the better team. I can't really remember a Croatia chance.
No, neither can I.
There wasn't really. There was no moment where it was like, oh, we're in trouble. It was nothing. And yet still it felt nervy at times.
Yeah, but that's just life. Do you know what I mean? That's like that's just living life, surely. Like even Steve Davis must have felt nervy when he was winning all those world titles. Like even Michael Jordan got nervous. Not that I'm comparing us. I think it just felt kind of so professional, didn't it?
It did.
It just felt like, get it done. Bang. That's that dealt with. Like, let's move on. I don't want to speak too soon. I'm not going to say we're going to win it or anything. But I feel like whatever you say about Gareth Southgate, I think he's created a completely different atmosphere inside and outside the England team towards the idea of the English national team. If you remember what a fucking shambles 2016 was, only 5 years ago, we were going into a tournament with Wayne Rooney playing central midfield for the first time. Do you know what I mean? That's insane.
I know.
Imagine living in that world. And now it doesn't feel like an amateur operation. It feels like people that know what they're doing. And it feels like the team is really confident and happy. And I got the feeling with the England team for most of my life that it always felt slightly like an apprentice task. Do you know what I mean? Like there's always that feeling. It was just slightly getting out of control and someone had mixed up kilos and ounces and it was all going to go wrong. Do you know what I mean?
I would argue the England team is worse than the apprentice because at least on the apprentice, you've got a good chance of getting fired quickly. The 2 year cycle. It's an apprentice task that lasts 2 years. And you can mess up along the way and you're not getting fired until it really is a proper disaster. Until you're not getting fired until you're losing to Iceland, having just gone up to Paris with Ray Lewington.
I'd love if someone wants to do it, you don't have to, but to take all of the terrible moments in English World Cup and European Championship history and edit in bits where Claude's like looking up from his notebook, looking disappointed. Just Karen Brady shaking her head and looking like they really...
As Steve McLaren pulls out the umbrella in the rain against Croatia in 2008 or wherever it was. Can I say, my feelings about this Croatia game are divided. Up until 20 minutes, I felt one way, and after 20 minutes, it slowed down. But after 20 minutes, when Phil Foden hit the post, I literally said, just hand over the trophy now. Why are we bothering with a charade of a tournament? Because after 20 minutes, we looked unbelievable. The heat slowed us down a bit. But, I mean, if we fire like we fired in that first 20 minutes, if that shadow casts itself across the whole pitch and cools this team down, we're going to be on flames.
This is the problem, Chris, is that our players aren't used to playing in international tournaments in countries like England. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the altitude in Wembley is, they're just not built for it.
Should we not have trained for this kind of thing? It feels like we're just not ready for the climate.
The only reason that Raheem Sterling got the win is because he was used to the air around Wembley, having grown up there. He was the one, he had a natural advantage. No one else on the pitch could match.
Maybe at this point, we recorded our feelings throughout the game. Well, at the start and at halftime, and then just after the goal. And I think it'd be nice to just revisit them now to get a feeling. You know, it's easy to be wise after the event, isn't it? We only won 1-0. But let's see how we felt throughout the afternoon.
The journey starts here. The first chapter in what England hope will be an epic tale starts with a rematch of the World Cup semi-final.
So, England's anthem has just gone. How are we feeling, Skull?
Pretty nervous. I was really nervous. However, I just spoke to your brother, Henry, and he said to me, there's no jeopardy in this game because the top three teams from the group will go through. So actually, he's hoping for a difficult point or maybe...
I would 100% take a point now.
Although I would love us to attack them and go into a tournament beating a good team in the first game. Like, we've never had that kind of momentum before.
I was just thinking, as I was getting changed, I was thinking, I've got no lived experience to call on. That implies that we could win. I've never experienced us beating a good team in the first game.
We've never won the first game of a Euros before.
Well, the worst thing is, what's this going to be like to listen to tomorrow?
Quietly confident. I will say, just in the build-up, I don't know if you saw it, there was lots of 90s references in the BBC build-up, including Yuri Geller. You like to think we've had some influence, and the cultural touchstones of the country have been influenced by what we've been doing, you'd hope.
Well, let's hope. Right, let's do this.
It is the first time since 19...
Shouldn't you be at work?
Oh, here's Gascoigne. Gascoigne, he can finish it here! Phil Gascoigne! 2-0!
Lampard! Brilliant!
It was in, now.
That surely crossed the line! Oh,
thanks
very much, Sepp Blatter.
Clean sheet, I call it. It's one of the most important things in football.
Nice to see home fans booing you.
Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Paul Bowden to take it. Oh, and he's hit the crossbar.
Gerrard, it's Carroll. What a goal by the England striker. That's why he was brought in and he's done the job.
Saved! John Pickford! England on the brink!
Now, you know him better than anybody probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, and it happened!
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score Euros, Episode 1, The Tournament is Underway. I'm Chris Gold, joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Yes, please, here we are, the summer of our lives.
Yeah, so exciting, isn't it? And joining us, fresh from being on Wikipedia learning about why North Macedonia are called North Macedonia, it's Michael Marden.
Hello.
Hello. Wow, wow, wow. Here we are. Our first proper Euros show after two previews. It's currently 8 p.m. on Sunday. Normally we'd start with the electronic postbag on the 90s o'clock news. I suppose, Chris, do you want to just give the 90s o'clock news the England result?
England 1, Croatia 0, our first ever victory in the first game of a European Championship finals. And what a day it was. The sun is shining. I am so dehydrated. I don't know about everyone else. I'm on my fourth pint of orange squash.
You very much remind me of a, you know, a tabloid story about Paul Scholes in Japan, that kind of tournament. You're very much, you're John Aldridge, aren't you, in the Dallas Bowl or whatever it's called.
I said losing my head like Jack Chowell in this heat. Very England versus Scotland at Euro 96, the weather today, wasn't it? Just the
it looked so much like England versus Scotland, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did look like England versus Scotland. You're like, am I tricking myself into this looking like England versus Scotland? I don't know. But also, I know they're both Wembley, but they're different stadiums, but they've managed to make the new Wembley suddenly looks like the old Wembley on TV. I don't know what's happened there.
Yeah.
It felt like the old Wembley.
Although, I don't think I've ever watched a game and had as much contrast issues where the shadow was. I mean, we were watching in your gardens. The sun was on the TV, but there was a very lit part of the pitch and a very dark part of the pitch. In a way I don't really think I've seen before.
It was insane. You'd think they'd have checked this would be in it. What? Am I being thick? But that's not that the roof is stronger than normal. That must be that the sun is brighter than it's ever been before, right? The roof's not blocking out more sun. How does that even work? Like, surely it's, how bright was today that it was? Did they have the floodlights on as well on one side of the pitch? I don't know how it worked. Michael, what are your thoughts on what you witnessed this afternoon?
Well, it's a strange one. There was a sort of a very unconventional and difficult to process competence and professionalism to that result and that performance. Like, we never looked like we were in trouble at any point. We just kind of clinically were the better team. There were no mistakes, there were no errors. I don't think there was ever a point where I felt like we weren't going to win that game, no. Which is, as an England fan, is a very alien place to be.
It felt like it must feel to be a German.
Yes.
Is this what happens when you're good? Is this it?
Yeah. Like, it felt when we scored, so I was trying to process afterwards why that goal didn't feel as exciting as scoring against Tunisia in the first game of World Cup 2018. And I think it's because in all the other previous tournaments, I know in my heart that we're bad and I need us to score to prove to me that I'm wrong and we're actually good. Do you know what I mean? So every previous tournament, I'm going into it knowing that this is a team that doesn't have what it takes.
Yeah.
So I need us to prove me wrong in my heart. So when we score, it's a moment when I think, oh, I was wrong. But now,
yeah,
it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I thought we were good. And even if we hadn't won, I thought, ah, we'll be fine because we're good. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think previous tournaments have always felt a bit like a sort of a partner who forgets your birthday or your anniversaries. And you're like, oh, please don't let them forget. And then they'll turn up with some flowers from the garage at the last minute. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, they're not that bad. Whereas tonight, it's like, no, they remembered. And they got a present that was really nice and I really liked it. Oh, my God, is this the future? Are we going to marry this England team?
Can I just temper this celebration a little bit?
No.
I thought it was, yeah, no. It was a bit England versus Tunisia, France 98. I just felt like, yeah, that was a good start. Is the opposition any good? I'm not sure. That was a really good start. Do you know what I mean? I still feel like I need to see more. But it's a great start.
It's difficult for them to do that without playing their fixtures too soon. You can't lay it on England that they've only won the one game they've played. Like, it's not fair on them to go, I needed three wins today to really win me over. Can we not play three teams at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like we are better than Croatia. Like, and we should have won that game. I don't think you can dispute that. You know, I know they beat us in the World Cup, but that was 3 years ago. Their best player is now 3 years older. He's 35 years old. But we didn't draw that game. And I think historically we would have drawn that game. And then we would have had to sort of sugarcoat it and go, well, you know, we never start great. That never felt like happening. Yeah. I felt like we were just the better team. I can't really remember a Croatia chance.
No, neither can I.
There wasn't really. There was no moment where it was like, oh, we're in trouble. It was nothing. And yet still it felt nervy at times.
Yeah, but that's just life. Do you know what I mean? That's like that's just living life, surely. Like even Steve Davis must have felt nervy when he was winning all those world titles. Like even Michael Jordan got nervous. Not that I'm comparing us. I think it just felt kind of so professional, didn't it?
It did.
It just felt like, get it done. Bang. That's that dealt with. Like, let's move on. I don't want to speak too soon. I'm not going to say we're going to win it or anything. But I feel like whatever you say about Gareth Southgate, I think he's created a completely different atmosphere inside and outside the England team towards the idea of the English national team. If you remember what a fucking shambles 2016 was, only 5 years ago, we were going into a tournament with Wayne Rooney playing central midfield for the first time. Do you know what I mean? That's insane.
I know.
Imagine living in that world. And now it doesn't feel like an amateur operation. It feels like people that know what they're doing. And it feels like the team is really confident and happy. And I got the feeling with the England team for most of my life that it always felt slightly like an apprentice task. Do you know what I mean? Like there's always that feeling. It was just slightly getting out of control and someone had mixed up kilos and ounces and it was all going to go wrong. Do you know what I mean?
I would argue the England team is worse than the apprentice because at least on the apprentice, you've got a good chance of getting fired quickly. The 2 year cycle. It's an apprentice task that lasts 2 years. And you can mess up along the way and you're not getting fired until it really is a proper disaster. Until you're not getting fired until you're losing to Iceland, having just gone up to Paris with Ray Lewington.
I'd love if someone wants to do it, you don't have to, but to take all of the terrible moments in English World Cup and European Championship history and edit in bits where Claude's like looking up from his notebook, looking disappointed. Just Karen Brady shaking her head and looking like they really...
As Steve McLaren pulls out the umbrella in the rain against Croatia in 2008 or wherever it was. can I say, my feelings about this Croatia game are divided. Up until 20 minutes, I felt one way, and after 20 minutes, it slowed down. But after 20 minutes, when Phil Foden hit the post, I literally said, just hand over the trophy now. Why are we bothering with a charade of a tournament? Because after 20 minutes, we looked unbelievable. The heat slowed us down a bit. But, I mean, if we fire like we fired in that first 20 minutes, if that shadow casts itself across the whole pitch and cools this team down, we're going to be on flames.
This is the problem, Chris, is that our players aren't used to playing in international tournaments in countries like England. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the altitude in Wembley is, they're just not built for it.
Should we not have trained for this kind of thing? It feels like we're just not ready for the climate.
The only reason that Raheem Sterling got the winner is because he was used to the air around Wembley, having grown up there. He was the one, he had a natural advantage. No one else on the pitch could match.
Maybe at this point, we recorded our feelings throughout the game. Well, at the start and at halftime, and then just after the goal. And I think it'd be nice to just revisit them now to get a feeling. You know, it's easy to be wise after the event, isn't it? We only won 1-0. But let's see how we felt throughout the afternoon.
The journey starts here. The first chapter in what England hope will be an epic tale starts with a rematch of the World Cup semi-final.
So England's anthem has just gone. How are we feeling, Skull?
Pretty nervous. I was really nervous. However, I just spoke to your brother, Henry, and he said to me, there's no jeopardy in this game because the top three teams from the group will go through. So actually, he's hoping for a difficult point or maybe...
I would 100% take a point now.
Although I would love us to attack them and go into a tournament beating a good team in the first game. Like, we've never had that kind of momentum before.
I was just thinking, as I was getting changed, I was thinking, I've got no lived experience to call on. That implies that we could win. I've never experienced us beating a good team in the first game.
We've never won the first game of a Euros before.
Well, the worst thing is, what's this going to be like to listen to tomorrow?
quietly confident. I will say, just in the build-up, I don't know if you saw it, there was lots of 90s references in the BBC build-up, including Uri Geller. You like to think we've had some influence, and the cultural touchstones of the country have been influenced by what we've been doing, you'd hope.
Well, let's hope. Right, let's do this.
It is the first time since 1992 that no Liverpool or Manchester United player has started for England. Foden, played in by Sterling. It's Phil Foden, he hits the post. What a great chance for England to take the lead inside the first 6 minutes. Raheem Sterling spotting the space. Foden taking it beautifully, turning inside Guardiola. So close to putting England in front.
How are you feeling?
Tense, I think. I think there's a lot at stake here. We're playing well. It's half time in England, Croatia.
The first 20 minutes was really frenetic. It was like, this is a big tournament. And then nothing happened for the following 25 minutes. Boiling. It's hot, isn't it?
It's boiling. A lot of our players are quite pasty. Your Phil Foden's. Back to the days of Paul Scholes, losing all that weight. I think, we're just not going to win, are we? We're just not going to win. That doesn't mean I don't love the team, think they're going to do well, but we're just not going to win our first game against Croatia.
I'm more positive about the second half. I think Southgate would have... You've got to G them up after that. I think that first half was probably quite tense. We're in the tournament now. It's begun. Hopefully we'll see something better in the second half. And maybe Uri Geller's got the chopper off the ground, got flight clearance, hovering around Wembley. Maybe he can make something happen.
Exactly. Fingers crossed.
Walker. Phillips. That's better from England. Still Phillips feeding Sterling. Sterling! England's first goal of the European Championships is the first goal at a major tournament for Raheem Sterling. Born in the shadow of Wembley. He puts England in front against Croatia.
So obviously, the first thing I'd say, best time to score a goal is not while holding your sleeping baby. That was absolutely awful. The reason we're talking in hushed tones is because the baby is still sleeping. How are you feeling now?
I'm glad, on reflection, we've scored late, well, into the second half rather than in the first half.
Oh, my word. Croatia going to score.
Croatia going forward, and it's gone wide.
Thank God for that.
I'm feeling more settled into the game. I think the team are feeling more settled now. We've still got Grealish to come off the bench. I don't want to say it, but it could be going well.
Michael?
Yeah, I still feel like if we can see this game out, I think that's real progress.
I think the worst thing is I feel more nervous now we've scored.
Yeah.
I've been waiting 60 minutes to settle it, and now I feel worse.
You know, I feel exactly the same way, and I think it's like shadows of the World Cup semi-final where we went 1-0 up.
Yeah.
You're like, I know what happened from here, but hopefully this English team could write a new narrative. What I am struggling with is sitting next to your brother Henry, who's one of these...
Oh?
Who's particularly pessimistic.
Oh?
But England are making a break.
That's
a
free kick.
That'll be a free
we'll
kick
have that
to England.
Free kick, please.
Yes, it is.
Right,
but broadly, it's going
come on,
well.
It's coming
60
home.
Minutes.
It's not,
let's
not
see
just
what
going
happens.
Well, it's coming home.
I think let's stay live for the free kick.
Okay, stay live for the free kick.
Trippier's had a go and hasn't covered himself in glory.
Do you remember when he used to be called Trippier? And they spent 2 years in Spain and he's Kieran Trippier.
But can you not feel any... I already feel myself falling in love with this England team. Sterling, I kind of thought maybe he needs to come off, but he's pulled it back. There's already a hero story there.
I tell you what, Calvin Phillips is one of those people that's going to end up playing every game now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I kind of didn't realise how good he was.
He's been fantastic for Leeds this season, but he's the best player on the pitch so far.
This is an English... So what are we on? 65 minutes? This is a good position for a free kick. And who stood over that?
Don't know.
Mason Mount.
No one else around him.
No
as
one
well.
Else around him. So
at least get someone to run over it. Just get James Ward-Prowse to run over it, even though he's not allowed to kick it.
If this goes in, it's definitely coming home. Mason Mount, here he comes.
Oh!
We have played our 4 minutes of added time. There may be one last storm to weather. England's got to be alert. It's half clear, and it's way over the top. And there is the full-time whistle. England win their opening game at a European Championships for the first time ever, thanks to Raheem Sterling. It has finished at Wembley. England 1, Croatia 0.
Okay, so can I ask you guys some questions? First question, how much do you know about Calvin Phillips? Be honest.
Like a Leeds mate had said he was good, but I didn't think he would really feature this tournament. My word. The other one that concerned me, as I said as well, was Tyrone Mings. I thought, I've seen him have a ricket for England, seen him have a ricket for Aston Villa, but I would say Phillips and Mings were probably our two best players. I thought they were incredible. And Calvin Phillips, well worth a Wikipedia to learn more.
Would recommend sitting down tonight with Calvin Phillips Wikipedia.
Follow that with the North Macedonia Wikipedia chaser. Yeah. And you're in for an absolute treat.
Oh, what a lovely evening. So before the match, the lineup was announced, which there's been a lot of clamour for Jack Grealish. Can I make a point? Are the people of England aware that substitutes can be made?
Tell Terry Venables in the semi-final. Euro 96. No wonder no one knows.
So wedded to that game. Yeah, no one knows because of the Euro 96.
That's why we've never won a major tournament since 66.
Well, we didn't bring on any subs in 66 either, did we?
Of course.
So that's our two greatest games in history. We didn't bring on any subs. We've got a history of not making subs. People act like this starting 11. We're allowed to make five subs in one match here, guys. People act like it's the end of Jack Grealish's career if he doesn't start. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just found it quite kind of startling how upset people are about the England selections.
I know what you mean, but actually, I thought Rio Ferdinand made a great point on the punditry saying that Jack Grealish is such an amazing creative player who can unlock defences. What a gift to have him on the bench coming off. Actually, exactly. that really turned my mind, like changed my mind about that, because I was thinking, you're right, 60 minutes, if something needs to change, you can bring on Jack Grealish. That's a whole new proposition for their defence. And I guess that's what's so exciting about this England
team. Can we take it back to the 90s? Can we take it back to the 90s? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
To remind you that in 1998, the first game we started with neither Beckham nor Owen.
Yeah, and at the time, we all thought that was a mistake, and it proved to be so. I mean, Michael Owen, the star of the tournament, Glenn Hoddle was looking at him at Le Tournoi and beforehand thinking, this guy's not good enough. And then he comes on and steals
the
tournament.
I think he said he's not. It's awful to retread old mistakes. But I think he said he's not a natural goal scorer, didn't he?
Oh, God.
Which is not the worst thing he said as England manager. Because I think the thing with me is I love these international tournaments so much. I'm not going to get angry about the selection because I just want to... I have to trick myself into feeling positive. I have to feel positive about it.
Yeah.
How upset do you get about it, Michael? How much?
It doesn't really affect me that much. I thought the Trippier decision was slightly odd, seeing as you have got a Champions League winning left back and then Luke Shaw, you know, had the season of his life and is in fantastic form. But, you know, he played really well. We won the game. You know, let's move on. I'm more interested in how that performance is then going to impact the next team selection. You know, do you stick or twist? Is Harry Maguire fit enough? Calvin Phillips was the best player on the pitch. At what point do you jeopardise bringing in an unfit Henderson for him? Those are the sort of variations that I think will be interesting as the tournament goes on.
Maybe this is a good point. You know, having just discussed Gareth Southgate's decision-making, he's won 1-0. Can we turn to the redemptionometer and see whether he's on track to being forgiven?
Gareth is on the road to redemption.
There we go. The Southgate redemptionometer suggests he's on the road.
Well, I suppose it is true because he hasn't redeemed himself, because this could all still go horribly wrong. I mean, there's something about this, recording this podcast, where we've recorded 3 or 4 years of non-topical podcasts where everything we say can't come back and bite us on the arse because the results we talk about have been enshrined in stone for over 20 years. Do you know what I mean? It's clear England aren't going to win Euro 96. Peter Schmeichel's always going to be weak on chips. All these kind of things are just a fact. But now we've got this situation where, is this podcast going to sound the thickest thing that's ever happened in 2 weeks? Or are we creating a podcast that in 30 years, when England have won, I mean, it's not going to happen, but if we did win it, just humour me. If we did win it, imagine having this record of exactly how we felt the night after the first game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've always wanted to do something where you're like writing or covering the Euros or a World Cup in some way. I've always thought that looks like an amazing job. And to be doing it this time and going,
it couldn't be the time that we actually do it as well, could it?
Yeah.
I should add that obviously most people are asked to do it, paid to do it by a company. We're actually paying money ourselves to do it and using our own time to do it. No one's asked us to do this.
It is. This is going to be such a wonderful time capsule of this summer. I often think of Samuel Pepys' diary and think he probably didn't know how significant that diary would have been. And maybe we don't know how significant...
Did he make any predictions about major tournaments?
He did say that he was passionate about substitutions as tournaments progress, especially in the latter stages, maybe even semi-finals. But sadly, I don't think Terry Venables ever picked up a copy. Can I just say, the pre-match coverage on the BBC, very, very 90s. Everything was really 90s today. Do you know what I think? They had a wicked, really good VT, like trailing through England's history at major tournaments since 96. And there were flashes of Yuri Geller in there. There was a great bit where they showed the Gazza goal against Scotland. And Gary Lineker says the thing he's always wanted to know was, how did Gazza know the bottle was going to be beside the goal for that celebration?
That's very interesting. How did he know?
Shearer kind of implied that he'd left it there. But I mean, how are you going to know? He said they were talking about it on the way to the game.
But then obviously those bottles were there the whole time because they were playing in the unique hot climate of England in June, which we know is the hottest place you can play football.
And there was no shadows on the pitch that day, not that I can remember. So it wasn't like today. No. The other thing, you know, how nice was it seeing Phil Foden in number 20 with the big red letters, really Michael Owen-esque?
Yeah.
The last 90s note I've got is that how 90s was it wonderful to see all the fat blokes with their bellies out at full time?
That was a real straight of fat bloke. No,
you don't see that at major tournaments, do you? I don't feel like I've ever seen that before.
No, that was very 90s.
It was tops off.
Do you know what? It does feel quite an old time for there to be fat blokes in the crowd that you're worried about getting sunburn. Do you know what I mean? That kind of feeling. Shall we put this to bed once and for all? Can I ask you what sub you would have made in the Euro 96 semi-final?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, so you got... Do you want the team?
I mean, I know what sub I'd make, but yeah.
Oh, okay, go on.
Well, I would take... with a minute to go, I'd take Gareth Southgate off and put Robbie Fowler on. And then we win Euro 96, basically. Done.
I don't know if you straight after the England-Croatia game, there was a BBC, a Match of the Day special programme. It was like the 10 best moments of Euro 96 with Micah Richards and Alan Shearer. And Alan Shearer said on that programme, he wishes England had made a substitution a few minutes ago to bring on Les Ferdinand to take a penalty. So that's what Shearer's
thinking. Les Ferdinand doesn't ever think, I wish that had happened.
Is Les Ferdinand a penalty taker? I can't remember him taking penalties.
I mean, if you had to choose between him and Gareth, you're backing Les all day long though, aren't you?
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, while we're here talking about the BBC coverage, should we just touch on the opening credits? That's always a big announcement for major tournaments. What are your guys' thoughts on the BBC and ITV opening credits?
Not classical stroke operatic enough for my tastes. I am a traditionalist, and I was brought up in 1990. And I also would give a big shout out to the France 98 titles as well. I like a semblance of highbrow classical music to give me a feeling that I'm not just watching a World Cup, but I'm indulging in a cultural event.
Yeah. If I had to describe my feelings on the BBC opening titles in one word, it would be overproduced. Do you think it's just too much?
There is a lot going on.
Keep it simple.
For me, it feels like they've panicked about fitting every host nation into it. But I know Michael's staying silent on this. I've got a terrible fear that Michael's edited the BBC's opening titles.
Do you know, I think it's like, I don't know. No, Michael's about to tell us why he likes it, but is it not an acid trip? Is it not like Fearing Loathing in Las Vegas? What, like, if someone took LSD there?
I agree with what you've both said about the sort of heritage and prestige, but I think the problem with subsequent ones is that they have lent into that, but they've not gone far enough. So you've got this horrible kind of middle ground where they're tipping a hat to essentially like the shadow that Italia 90 casts. But this one, I think, is the first one in a long time where they've gone, do you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to do something completely different, a complete departure. And I really love the design. I love the execution. I think it's the right length. I think the track is great. I think the animation's great. I've watched it 3 or 4 times now, and you spot an extra little detail like every single time. I like the fact that there's a lot going on. I like the fact that it sort of, it feels like a kind of Michel Gondry, like White Stripes music video from the early noughties. I'm a big fan.
Wow. There is a thing also, I should say, that maybe I will come around to it, because I don't think I've ever watched the first time a titles for a tournament and not gone, well, this is bullshit. This is every time I'm like, well, this isn't as good as Italia 90. That thing that's been spent 30 years in my head. Every time I'm like, this is not what I remember. Do it like I remember. That's what I want it to be. So maybe I will come round to it.
Well, then, speaking of Italia 90, obviously the opening ceremony, did you guys both watch that? And yes. A very strong tip of the hat back to Italia 90 with Andrea Botticelli singing Nessun Dorma. Thoughts?
Loved it. Obviously loved it. Because I was watching it, and I did think, if I were to ever go on Desert Island Discs, Nessun Dorma might sneak in as my tip of the wink to the Fat Woman Radio 4 kind of thing. I think it's one of the most evocative songs in the world of my lifetime, by possibly the top 8. We'll see if I was on a desert island, possibly. I love it. Am I alone in this?
It's a great piece of music, but it's a great piece of music by association for me.
Yes.
What I thought about that one was, because you're so used to just hearing essentially the kind of crescendo, that bit that really gets you emotive, that version, I was like, this is quite long, isn't it? Like, when's the chorus coming? And when we get into that bit that I really like.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But I'd actually that day listened to it on Spotify. And there is a long period where it's quite quiet. Is it? I don't know what it's from. What's it from?
It's from, I actually looked up what it's about. It's about, he's singing about, is it some sort of competition where he's challenged this guy to find out his name. And in his song, he's singing, "You're not going to find out my name." That's basically it. So it's nothing to do with football, not even slightly.
I didn't think it was about, you know, Catenaccio. I didn't think it was about Arrigo Sacchi transforming AC Milan.
He's singing about playing a right-sided fullback on the left-hand side so they can cut in.
That's an opera I'd watch.
Do you want to hear something unbelievable? Germany used all 3 substitutes in the Euro 96 semi-final. I hate to go back to this, but... Because I checked when I thought Michael and you were going to, you know, we were going to debate these. I thought you might want the list of substitutes. I checked. So Germany did 3 subs. Venables just stood there as they bring on Thomas Hassler, Marco Boda, and Thomas Strunz.
Did any of those take a penalty?
Yeah, he brought Strunz on in the 119th minute and he took the second penalty. And actually, yeah. Thomas Hassler came on. In his 76th
minute. They were the first
minute.
2 penalty takers.
So his first 2 pens were subs. I mean, we scored our first 5, so... The real travesty of that is, like, so we score our first 5 penalties, Shearer, Platt, Pierce, Gascoigne, Sheringham, and Southgate. Southgate's number 6. So that means you got Adams, Anderton, McManaman, not taking pens. But they're, like, before him. Crazy, really.
Seaman.
I'd back him to take one.
Anyway. I think it's an astonishing feat that we're discussing this even in the first episode.
Even having given ourselves permission to talk about what's happened today.
This is a travesty that you've gone topical. You've sold yourselves out. Listen to the episodes we haven't.
We're serving no one at this point.
We're serving absolutely...
All of the people who are tuning in to hear us talk about topical. Disappointed in the fact we're talking about Euro 96, but they've all people who want to hear that have left.
How does this make you feel about the rest of the tournament? Because England won the first game of World Cup 2018, but not in convincing circumstances.
I'm super excited. The pressure's off. England, Scotland on Friday. All eyes on that one. The pressure's off on that one. But I mean, it's exciting, isn't it? We've got a good team. The sun's out. It's Austria versus North Macedonia. That was exciting. I've got football fever. This is set up perfectly for us. It couldn't be better. The shadow at Wembley aside.
Yeah, I also think maybe 32 teams in a World Cup is slightly too many to keep track of all the teams. Do you know what I mean? 24, I feel like, you know, when there's a big Netflix box set, you know, someone goes, oh, you should watch
Sopranos. You're like, there's six seasons of that. I can't imagine starting it knowing that's ahead. That's maybe how I feel with the 32 teams of World Cup. But these 24 teams, it feels manageable. Do you know what I mean? I'm watching it going, oh yeah, I'm quite looking forward to seeing Wales versus Turkey, actually, because I've heard Turkey are good, but they were bad against Italy. But so maybe they'll be better again. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just very excited about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, can I just table a theory? I don't know whether there's anything in this. But, you know, the shadow at Wembley. Do you think Kieran Trippier is one of the few players that could take the full sun? So they've had to move him to the other side of the pitch.
A season in La Liga has meant the picture of his eyes have adjusted. Luke Shaw would have been over there squinting like a blind man, yeah.
Sure, I love came that. In from warm up and went, I can't take it. Yeah. I can't have it. Kieran, you're going to have to play on the left, mate. I'm sorry. There was actually a bit where Kieran Trippier chased a ball across the pitch and he actually stopped when he got to the shade because he couldn't do it. Like a kind of reverse vampire. Do write in if you've got any theories on this kind of thing. Now, on the topic of excitement, our friend and regular contributor Matt Ford was at the game today. I said, can we speak to you between 9 and 10? And he said, no, he'll have had his first drink of the year, so he thinks he'll be asleep. However, it's 8:53. Should I just try calling him?
Yeah.
Wow.
To see what it was like at Wembley.
Yo.
Matt Ford, how are you?
Not bad, how are you?
All right. Tell us how it was to be there today.
Firstly, it's so surreal to be in basically an empty Wembley. Like, it feels empty when you're there. So you've got so much space around you, which in a way is quite pleasant. You can cross your legs and everything. So that's weird. It's your first game of football you've been to for a year and a half, and then it's England in a tournament, and so there's a mix of things all in one. The main thing being, I don't think I've ever seen us play that well. Just completely composed and relaxed. Yeah,
it was professional, wasn't it?
And I tell you what, we were right up in the gods. You could see the whole pitch. We never looked in danger, ever. At no point. It was completely organised. And then, you know, that sort of first 5 or 10 minutes is a bit where Foden back-heeled it in the 18-yard box. They're so comfortable that they're doing this.
Yeah.
It was bonkers. So just, in a way, there was no tension in the ground at all. It felt so relaxed.
That's what it felt like watching on TV. It didn't feel tense.
It was so relaxed. And what was really odd was, like, there, it was just like it felt like going to see something at the Olympics. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Plus, some hardcore. I've never seen so many people on drugs at a football match. People were absolutely, like, red-faced. Wired. People just got to you. One bloke just got to you and went, you ready to get involved, mate? yeah. We did this. We were just in this, like, docile bit up in the cart. Mate, honestly, the demographic is mad. It's basically like those weird cricket people who look like paedophiles are there on their own. Plus, like, I would say normal, law-abiding folk. Plus, like, yobs. And you're like, basically, what part of the crowd are you going to see? Like, the paedophile behind me, yobs to my left. I was like, fucking hell. Rafi would have written an amazing song about this. It was incredible. And then there's a bit where, in, like, the vomitory area, it's all fine. It goes ballistic. Two lines of police come in and stop you moving anywhere.
Yeah.
I said to one of them, oh, my ticket's on that side. He went, yeah, just go through, mate. I was like, what? And then people start throwing pints at them, and then it kind of all ended. I was like, this is... It was almost like no one knew how to behave.
Oh, wow.
Some people were really nice. Some people were yobs. And as I say, you know, some of them were paedophiles. So it was kind of a real mix of all the culture.
Something for everyone.
It was
a real smorgasbord. And then, you
know, the Sterling goal was great. Because everyone looked great. No one. Pickford was the only one with his feet that was a bit, you know. Off.
Yeah, but he's the goalie.
So
you can't give him that, Matt.
It was just great. You know what?
Actually, he kept picking it up, didn't he? He was that uncomfortable this week. He kept picking it up.
You know, if you don't win it, I just feel so relaxed about what Southgate's done to England, the way we play now. I'm like, look, if we don't win it this time, it's just not our time. But I just think this is going somewhere.
Yeah.
It's still a work in progress, and it's in the right way. Like, we've never played it like this before. It was incredible.
It was just amazing.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever watched England and felt like that. Just so relaxed. You know what? The Sweden game.
Just relaxed around drug addicts and paedophiles.
That's the effect they have on you. I mean, that's how grooming works, isn't it? They quickly
Can I ask one question that we've been debating a lot? On TV, the contrast between the shadow and the sun was unpalatable. In the ground, did it feel weird?
You know what? That's a really good point, because I didn't even dare say this to anyone else there. But I kept seeing a helicopter, but only the shadow of it.
So what do you mean? Yuri Geller?
It was the crystals! But it was just a phenomenal...
Oh, I'm glad.
But so surreal to be basically in empty Wembley to see it. It would be really odd.
And
but in some ways, it was great. So much space.
Did you want to go more? Will you go again?
Yes, so I've got tickets for Scotland and Czech Republic. So I'm just going to try and go to every England game that's at Wembley. I just think...
They're just your crowd. They're just your kind of people, aren't they? It's rare that you find a place where all the people like you go.
Oh, man. But you just, it's so good to be at football.
Yeah.
So good to be, and then your first game back, I haven't been to a football match in 2 years. My first game back was in England at Wembley. And we looked great.
Wow, Matt, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, man, this is always an honour. And I just wish we could have all been there together. Also, this is the first time I've had a pint.
No shit.
200 days.
Oh, wow. How was it?
Well, I was only meant to have two, but I had six, and I felt great. I'll tell you now. The NHS don't know shit, mate. It's a fucking pandemic. This whole gout thing's been a scam from the start.
We're going to cut you off there, Matt. We're going to cut you off.
No, I'm being silenced. Piers Corbett says you guys are full of shit, by the way.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt Ford. Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, Fordy. There we go.
Great.
I love the amazing rug pull that he's had 6 points at the end. Really was worth it.
Well, I hope he does go to every game, because we got a man on the ground. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So do we think Yuri Geller was hovering above Wembley?
I mean, you're the man that's got the in with him now.
Yeah. I guess so. We had him on Last Leg on Friday night, only via Zoom, I should say. And man, he's an interesting bod. Do you know what he's doing this time, though? He says he's using his powers to help Scotland beat England, because he feels it was unethical what he did in Euro 96. So he's got to rebalance it.
God, no.
I know, bad news, right?
I just, any advantage we could have, I'd want Geller on side, if I'm honest.
Would you?
Even though I suspect it's a load of old.
Do you think Yuri Geller's more or less going to have more or less impact on the tournament than Jack Grealish?
Can I just read you a tweet? So I just clicked on Yuri Geller's timeline just to see if he was in a helicopter today. No mention of it. But he's Yuri Geller, 30th of May. Okay, my dear Scots, I decided to help you beat England. I believe you will, with my powers involved. Oh, man.
Oh, my word.
Don't need it, do we?
No. Does it worry you, Michael?
Not really, no. I'm not a superstitious man. I think he's a snake oil salesman. So I'm willing to say I, between now and the Scotland game, are going to read up on wizardry, and I'm going to use my powers against Yuri's in a battle of good versus evil. And we'll see who's stronger, Yuri. Me versus you, mate. Let's go.
Well, we'll talk about that on Friday's episode, which will be our Scotland versus England preview episode, released on Friday morning. So you can all enjoy it on the day for the build-up. We're releasing two extra episodes this week on Wednesday and Friday for our Patreon members. We will be doing three episodes a week, all tournament. I think in the latter stages it goes slightly stranger because of the order of the fixtures, but let's not get into the details, people. Mondays are released on our normal feed, and then Wednesdays and Fridays are for our Patreon XJ8 members. So do sign up to that if you want to hear us throughout the month. Now, we're also doing giveaways throughout the month. Michael, you have your first giveaways.
Yes, very exciting. We have got a whole bundle of football, 90s football, and Quickly Kevin goodies to give away. I've been going crazy on eBay. Stuff will be arriving in the post. But for the first episode, we are going to give away is a Lettersford Town football shirt and a Lettersford Town mug to one lucky Patreon member. What I've done is I've put every single Patreon member's name into a giant supercomputer / piece of free software. I press a button, and then that machine spits out a name. Whoever it spits out is going to win the Lettersford Town shirt and the mug. Okay. And we're going to be giving away prizes on every single episode to Patreon members. Right. Here we go.
And the winner is
Peter Cantwell.
Peter Cantwell, come on down. I hope your size is extra small because that's the shirt. we will get in touch with you, and you will win those prizes. There will be more extra eBay bought. I was going to say rubbish, but it's not. It's all stuff actually that I'd really want, and would try and tell myself that I wasn't disappointed that Michael had bought it and not just given it to me. That will be given away in each episode. Now, it's not just England. I think we really need to address the tournament from the start. It would be remiss of us.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.